Good morning, Chicago, and welcome to Made for Life, the radio program sponsored by Marriage and Family Ministries. I'm Amanda Thompson, and I'll be your host for a very special program on practicing Lent in the home and parish. And I have a wonderful guest who's actually on the phone with us today because she lives in Ohio with me this morning. It's Sarah Reinhardt. Sarah is the author of the book Catholic Family Fun, A Guide for the Adventurous, Overwhelmed, Creative, or Clueless, and also the creator of the blog called The Snoring Scholar. Welcome, Sarah.
Well, thank you. It's great to be on.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Well, sure. I am a Catholic wife and mom living here in the heart of the frozen tundra, also known as Ohio, but I can't complain to you people in Chicago because
yeah, really.
You live in a special sort of tropical bliss this winter.
Shiberia is what we like to call it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take my frozen tundra over your Shiberia any day. So I live on a small farm kind of in the middle of nowhere, exactly how I never thought I'd be, raising kids and dogs and animals and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. I look out my back window and see a cornfield.
So, oh, wow.
So, yeah, fun stuff. I have probably an inordinate addiction to both books and coffee, and which is better than smoking, I keep telling myself.
Yes.
And I like to punctuate the days with chocolate as possible. So
I love it.
How's that? That's all the important stuff, isn't it?
Well, tell me, that is definitely the important stuff for us. But also tell me about how you got started in writing and how you got connected with Lisa Henley, who writes The Catholic Moms, The Guide to what is the book called again?
The Handbook for Catholic Moms. And she also wrote, I really think her crowning achievement thus far was short a book called A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms, which, don't be misled by the title, it's everybody should read it. It's a great book.
Oh, yeah.
So the Handbook for Catholic Moms is also good. I just really think she outdid herself on that Book of Saints. So, yeah, and she's over at CatholicMom.com. I actually started writing for her, has it been 5 years already? But I've been blogging for 7 or 8 years. And I started blogging just because I felt this kind of strange little tug. I should be writing. What do I know about writing? I have all this living to do. I don't have time to write. So I started writing publicly because I'm not good at journaling. You know, they always tell you, you should journal if you want to write. And I'm proof that no, maybe you shouldn't. But so I started blogging instead of journaling, and it was fun, a way to interact with real-life people, and I got tapped into the Catholic blogosphere and kind of the websites out there that are interactive and Catholic, and found out that maybe I'm not as big a freak as I think I am for being so enthusiastic about my Catholic faith.
Yeah.
So, and Lisa, I mean, I started writing for CatholicMom.com, and it's just our relationship and friendship has just grown over the years as we've met each other at different conferences, and I'll help her out editorially.
editorial
work for
yeah.
her. Yeah, that's not a word. I can write it, but I can't
say it.
So.
That's great.
So, yeah, so, and it you know, CatholicMom.com is such a natural fit for my own interest in writings. And I think for many women, I mean, whether you always think motherhood and you think children, and I've definitely got them underfoot. You may, in fact, hear my son demand things from me. He sees me on the phone, and I become a magnet target for him. But I think the spiritual motherhood, since having children, I've come to really appreciate the spiritual motherhood we're all called to. And, you know, kind of that, what John Paul II called the feminine genius, but also the male genius that I think is maybe not talked about as much and in common, but I appreciate the men in my life a lot more now that I'm a mom.
Yeah, and I think
raising a little man, you know?
Yeah, when you become a parent, I think you realize how much you need God because you're so stretched in ways that you've never been stretched before and doing things that you'd never thought you'd ever be doing, saying things that you never
about
thought
you would. Things that come out of your mouth that you think, right? Did I just say that out loud?
I know. I used to think that I was incredibly patient, and I can remember even judging other moms before I had children, being like, oh my God, I'm so not going to be like that. And then when I felt myself being put to the brink of my sanity on some days when they were little, you just think, oh my God, I need you. I need your strength. I need your grace.
Oh my God, help me and help them. Yeah, the gritted teeth prayer.
Right, and to make sense of all the, I always feel like I'm in the kiln being molded and shaped through the fire, you know, and just, I loved all the analogies. All that stuff seemed to make sense to me when I became a parent. A lot of theology seemed to make sense to me in becoming a parent, because I had never been transformed the way I've been transformed in parenthood.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah.
Ditto that.
Yeah. Now, where did the snoring scholar come from? I love that name.
It started as a joke. Actually, an aunt of mine had said, that'd be a great name for a blog, so I'm never one to waste good ideas, so I did that. But it had to do with, you know, I'm always, when you're a mom with young kids, you know, you're always longing to sleep, and I have sort of an addiction to books. So I should be sleeping, but I'm probably reading.
Oh, that's great.
I lately fall asleep with, you know, I'm just going to read just one little page on my Kindle. Please. There I go. Now, the snoring, I take no responsibility for the snoring that happens in my house. We have an ongoing family friendly disagreement about who does the snoring in our house.
And it's always good to pass it off to somebody else.
That's
not
right,
me.
That's right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just glad to be asleep.
So tell me about also this Catholic Family Fun, the guide book. How did that come about, and what's in it that parents should know about?
It's meant to be kind of a resource and a guidebook. Definitely not a manual, because my vision for this book, in fact, I wanted it to be kind of a three-ring binder kind of book that you could lay flat and just scribble in and highlight and draw in the margins, because I see this as, you know, so often with your kids and with your family, it's so much easier to come up with ideas for other people. Like, you should do this. You know, it's really easy to look outward and say, well, you're not doing that right, or you should be doing this. And this book is really a compilation of idea starters in some ways, and ways to tie your family together, you know, because we're the domestic church in the family, right? Mm-hmm. We're the heart of our faith is in the family. But how easy is it to just go your separate ways? Okay, you're watching this TV, you're playing on the iPad, you're cleaning up dog poop, you're, you know, whatever. Everybody's got their own little thing. And maybe it's not dog poop at your house and you're luckier than I am. But whatever it is, you know, your little dishes, there's so much we can keep busy with, and we can so easily forget that our priority should be spending time together. Mm-hmm. But then when you're all together, you're looking at each other, or you're giving a three-year-old boy popsicles to keep him quiet while you're on the phone.
Mine was lollipops. Yeah.
Maybe slightly different than my life. But, you know, what do you do when you are together? And then, even better, okay, how do I make it Catholic without shoving it down anybody's throat? Because I know I'm sensitive to that, and I have at least one child who's also, you know, if you're going to shove the faith down my throat, I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
But if I can make it interesting, if I can make it, I've had other people ask me, like, so what are you doing with your family this Lent? Like, all chipper. And I'm like, yeah, I don't have the kids who are, like, standing in line going, can we please do faith still formation activities? My kids are like, shut up, Mom. Let's go play basketball. You know,
right.
I mean, they don't want it shoved down their throats. And I remember being the same way. I don't want anything shoved down my throat, even as an adult. I tend to not read things that shove faith down my throat. But if I can make it fun, or we can talk about it, like last night we didn't have any meat for dinner, and one of my kids noticed that and said, why can't we have bologna? And I said, well, technically you could, it's Ash Wednesday, but I can't because the church asked me, well, what does fasting mean? But now I finally have a child who's old enough to understand this, right? But So really, the book is meant to be ideas more than anything. Yeah. And yeah, you can find ideas online. They're all compiled here in one nifty place.
Oh, I love it. And it's interesting because we're talking about that in parishes, how to insert catechesis. So it's not just an adult formation evening where maybe five people show up, but how do you insert it in everything that we do, even the fundraiser for the Catholic school? How do you put that in? You know what? We're going to take a little break. It's been great to talk to you about your wonderful work, and be sure to check out Sarah's blog and book. We'll come back and we'll talk more about how to keep the family focused on Lent. So stay tuned.
The 2014 Annual Catholic Appeal is underway. The theme for this year's campaign is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, "You are the temple of God." Here's Cardinal Francis George.
In the Archdiocese of Chicago, the Annual Catholic Appeal has become a privileged way of sharing and therefore of strengthening God's temple. In the appeal, Catholic schools, parishes, programs of religious education, and formation for ministry are sustained, and initiatives to foster respect for life and make the world more just, peaceful, and loving become possible.
The Annual Catholic Appeal is a pledge campaign where you can make a gift payable in installments. Those gifts translate to charity that can be felt around the world, across the Archdiocese, and indeed, right in your own parish. Please give generously to the Annual Catholic Appeal. Make your pledge at your parish or go to annualcatholicappeal.com. That's annualcatholicappeal.com to help spread God's love throughout the year.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
And we are back with Made for Life. I'm Amanda Thompson, and I'm here with Sarah Reinhardt, who's talking about her work with Catholic moms and publishing things for Catholic families. So before we went to the break, we were kind of talking about sneaking in the catechesis into things that you do. And I really think that that is a more comprehensive way. I hear a lot of parents talking about how, you know, we really only talk about faith when we go to Mass on Sunday, if we go to Mass on Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's really relegated to 1 hour a week, and then we don't talk about faith the rest of the week. So how to get families to start thinking of faith as being more comprehensive?
Right. Well, and it's part of, you know, integrating your life. You know, faith isn't a bucket, just like family isn't a bucket. Your family life impacts everything you do, just like there's no work and home life for most women I know. It's, you know, you don't leave the office many times. It just, there's a bleed that has to happen,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to lose your mind. Maybe that's just me. But,
<It's not.
laughs> but faith is that way. It should color everything we do, as opposed to being just, okay, I've checked it off my list and I've gone Mass on Sunday. And yeah, I've noticed that about the Mass attendance as well. We've started interviewing our confirmation candidates, and thus far we've done, I think, about 8 or 10 interviews, and of those, I would say half the kids made the comment during the interview that, yeah, we should probably go to Mass every week, but we're so busy.
Yeah.
And it's something we hit hard in our confirmation formation in our parish. You know, I, as a catechist, have no problem looking at everybody and making sure, you know, what does obligation mean? Yeah, one more thing I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, that's true, but how do I love doing it? How do I grow that desire within myself. And I think when I look to the people who most inspire me, that desire is something that was planted in them as children. My husband, for example, a couple of weeks ago, we got so much snow we couldn't go to Mass, which, talk about feeling like a slacker. I mean, it's not, you know, and I get it. You're not, God's not going to shoot you down to hell because you were snowed in your house, right?
Right?
However, we felt something missing. And at the end of the day, we go around the table a lot of times and do this best part, worst part, what are you looking forward to tomorrow kind
yeah.
of thing, sharing with our kids. And my husband usually has standard answers. Well, he kind of broke from tradition, and his worst part was, well, not going to Mass.
Wow.
And he's not a guy to really talk a lot about his faith. So,
yeah.
And I don't think you have to talk a lot. It says a lot to my kids that we don't miss Mass. You know,
right.
he takes that leadership, and we make it. We go every week. I mean, I can be all on fire about the faith left and right, but they see it in his actions, too. So I don't think you have to always be talking about it, either. You can really work it in.
Yeah, in the things that you're doing. Even, I didn't even think about this, but about having, because a lot of times we'll tell the kids, it's not just about giving up. It might just be taking on something new, like
mm-hmm.
praying. And maybe for a lot of families, it would be the challenge to go to Mass every Sunday during
right.
Lent. You know, that might be
yeah.
something simple to say as well. And even just having things in your house, like you said, you don't always have to speak it. But
yeah.
when they look around the house and we just got the Catholic Relief Services rice bowl, and
right.
that's, there it is on the counter.
Well, there's an app now, too.
Yeah.
And every day you can, the other day, in fact, yesterday I got on and I, in my head, was like, okay, when I feel that urge where we would have gone and done the fast food, lazy cooking option, I'm going to mark that in my rice bowl when I don't do it.
Yeah.
Like in my head. And so I put it in there, and it was like one fast food meal. They've got like things listed, and it said one fast food meal is $4.69, and I kind of chuckled to myself. And then it said that will feed one family for a week.
Wow.
And so my 9-year-old was sitting beside me. I said, "Hey, look at this on my phone. This came up. It said that." And we had this little conversation. And I mean, how is that not catechesis?
Right.
There are people you can feed for a week, a whole family for a week, for what I just spent on my Big Mac.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I mean, that's huge. And yesterday we talked about it. She was looking for a snack. And I said, we know there's kids around the world. And I, at the risk of sounding like my mother, you know, there's kids in China starving.
I know, we're starving.
You know,
right.
But at the risk of sounding that way, I said, well, you know, when you think about how rich we are, and you don't think we're rich, but we can go to our cupboard and say, oh, I don't want the Ho-Ho. I'd rather have the Twinkie or the Chips Ahoy or the mm-hmm. homemade cookies. I want you to make cookies instead of just, you know, I mean, we have all these options.
Right.
And that is a kind of catechesis. I mean, Pope Benedict, oh my gosh, did I just do that?
You did just say Pope Benedict.
Well, he's in the news too. But, you know, it's interesting to see how Pope Francis has been in the news for good or bad or whatever. But that gives us an opportunity to speak with our children, especially
mm-hmm.
if you have older children.
Oh, yeah.
About that.
They've
and
been
to,
amazed.
You know, there's so many moments to the day when you start to think, if you can just verbalize, last week we had a really severe accident. And the squads were going by our house. Now, granted, we live in the middle of a cornfield, so the first squad caught our attention. The fourth one, I actually looked at my kids and said, you should all stop right now and pray
mm-hmm.
because something really bad just happened. And we found out the next day that, in fact, a young family was killed.
Oh, my gosh.
And, I mean, yeah, but it was galvanizing, but it gave us an opportunity for catechesis,
right.
if you want to call it that. I mean,
yeah.
I think it colors everything you do. I sound really intentional about it. I assure you, I am the most slacker mom in the world, you know, and that's, we have to forgive ourselves and get up. And if you're not going to Mass every week, Lent's a great time to start.
Yeah.
A habit takes about Lent long, about this long to form, get in the habit of going. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't like to exercise. I need to work on that. Well,
mm-hmm.
this is exercise for your soul. Getting to heaven is our most important goal, right?
Right. And can you tell the listeners where to find the app, the CRS app?
Let me pull it up on my little computer here. I think it's if you go to crs.org/ricebowl-app.
Yeah. And also if you go to the Office for Peace and Justice, too, the Archdiocesan Department, they'll have a connection there, a link to that that website and the app as well. So we are actually going to take another break. So thanks for the great ideas, and we'll be back. So stay tuned. Many couples don't understand the beauty of natural family planning because of misinformation of its effectiveness for achieving or postponing a pregnancy, or they have never been told about how it works. Marriage Ministries has created an easy way for couples to learn about NFP. It is available on a website called learnnfponline.com and is a course that teaches the Billings ovulation method on demand, so you can work through it at your convenience. Through this online course, couples will watch a video of the science, rules, and application of the method with a testimony from a young couple using NFP successfully. If you are working with engaged couples, preparing for marriage yourself, or are already married and would like to draw closer to your spouse, check out Learn NFP Online for yourself. Go to learnnfponline.com or marriageministries.com today. And we are back with some final words from our guest, Sarah Reinhart, who is a wonderful mom, wonderful Catholic mom out in Ohio with her children, trying to do her best to pass on the faith in the home. So tell us some more things that we can do for Lent, even in the parish. Like, what do you suggest? What is your parish doing? What are you guys doing at home?
Well, Well, I won't take up the whole segment saying what we're not doing because I'm a major slacker. And I feel like this is really the first year where I have a kid who's really cognizant of Lent.
Yeah, how old? Really, tell us how old your kids are.
My oldest is 9, and then I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. Now, I'm not saying that 6-year-olds and 3-year-olds aren't cognizant. I'm saying I'm lazy. So bad mom me. However, I wrote Catholic Family Fund like 3 years ago, right? So I was looking through it before this interview, and I'm like, oh, that's a good idea.
Oh, I should do that.
I don't even remember writing this. But one thing that struck me, and as I was thinking about it, something we actually have been doing, not just for Lent, but Lent would be a good time, is going to visit nursing homes or those who are homebound or those who are lonely, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think that's, Mother Teresa pointed this out many years ago, and I think it's all around us. Our 8th grade youth group has been going to our assisted living facility this entire school year. We go once a month, and I've noticed something. Even though it's usually pretty awkward and whatever events I have planned flop, because I'm not an event planner at all, ever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is that we're showing up. And I've noticed my girls, who are 9 and 6, love going.
Yeah.
Now, they don't get anything out of it. They don't get any toys. They don't get any food. They go and, like, just basically spend time with these seniors. And the seniors love it. They keep showing up, even though our events flop and are, you know,
yeah,
not anything brilliant, or I assure you. But that being present is something that I think sounds so easy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, inconsequential. Oh, I should do something so big. Oh, I should do something, you know, that really makes a difference. But you don't think that hour you spend a week or a month really can make a difference to somebody who has, you know, nothing else in their life.
Yeah,
you know,
and your children are watching that. Yeah. They're watching you do these things. They're watching you take time out of your busy schedule, and they'll model that in life later, too.
They're also seeing the value. So often when we talk about pro-life, it gets stuck on kind of two extremes, and we forget the people in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And the two extremes are extremely important, but I think we should not forget about those people in the middle. And sometimes the things in the middle are more easily accessible to those of us who are busy with young families. You know, it's actually not that hard to go visit my 85-year-old grandmother who lives alone. It's mm-hmm. pretty easy just to pack the kids up. She's pretty kid-friendly. She had kids, right? She loves seeing them.
Yeah.
She loves the crazy antics they do that irritate the snot out of me. She thinks they're hilarious.
Right.
You know, yep. So I'm bringing a smile to her face. Mm-hmm. I'm giving myself some relief, right, because there's another adult in the room.
Right.
And, I mean, there's benefits that I can't even list off, but I can see as we go and take our children and families go to these nursing homes, the difference it makes, even in a small way. And I think, you know, these are people who we try, we shove them off. We, you know, here, we're going to put you in this facility, and then I'm going to go on in my busy life. Well, mm-hmm. let's bring it back in, and let's take a piece of ourselves. You know, the most valuable thing we have right now is time.
Yeah.
Money means nothing anymore. We've all got it, so... Well,
yeah.
Maybe not.
Right.
I shouldn't say it that way, but really, the valuable thing, I think, in our society and culture right now is time. And
well,
not time, but time that's uninterrupted and undistracted.
When you were talking about Mother Teresa, when she first came here to America, she was overwhelmed by the poverty, and not a wealth, a poverty of material possessions, but the poverty
yeah.
of spirit. Just
right.
the independence, the isolation, the depression, that's what overwhelmed her. So during Lent, like you said, taking time to reach out to someone who's homebound, or even, like you said, someone in your family, a grandma or an aunt or someone like that. And sometimes with my kids, I know they're like, oh, great, we're going to go visit so-and-so. This is going to stink. And they're
yeah.
kind of dragging their feet. And then when we leave, they're like, that was really great. I really
right.
had a great time doing that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Or they learn something like, you know, grandma was alive before there were cars. My kids, like, get floored. I'm like, 85 years ago, she went to a one-room schoolhouse.
Oh, my
so
gosh.
Like, I can start that conversation and kind of step back, and my 9-year-old will keep it going for an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, because she's like, she can't even picture what it was like to have phones with wires in the wall.
Right.
I mean, my 9-year-old can't. We used to have email addresses that we couldn't just take with us. The other day, and I watched her brain sort of explode a little bit. She's like, your email address couldn't go with you? And I'm like, no, not if you didn't have all these certain codes and, like, an extra left foot. No, you couldn't take it with you. I mean, it just, so, but to then talk to somebody even two generations beyond that,
right.
I mean, the educational aspect, that storytelling that is so valuable.
Well, that's what they said. The studies are showing that when you share those stories of persistence, perseverance through hard times, it strengthens your own children to know that, yeah, you know what, things are going to be rough, but I'm going to get through, just like grandma got through and grandpa.
Right.
So
right.
I hate to say this, but we are coming to the end of our program. I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
Well,
and the show, I don't know
ditto.
If the audience would be interested
Likewise.
In what we
yeah.
were talking about, but I enjoyed talking to you. It was delightful to have you on the show. You have a Lenten pamphlet through, is it LTP or Liguori?
It's through, yeah, Liguori.
Liguori.
It's called Welcome Risen Jesus at, I almost said Advent Reflections, Lent and Easter
yeah.
Reflections. So it continues through Lent into the Easter season, so you can continue your reflection through Easter.
That's great. And everybody should go to snoringscholar.com to visit the blog, as well as look at your other publications. They really are delightful, especially from the mom perspective, the parent perspective. I just want to say a few things. Family Ministries offers an online marriage preparation class or pre-Cana for couples who are separated by distance, whether they're in the military or because of job situations. So the class is offered in Spanish as well. For more information, you can go to marriageministries.com and go to familyministries.org to check out all of our programs and events that are coming up. So thank you, Sarah, for your time. I mean, obviously, you have a child at home. Thanks for spending time on the phone with us. And thanks for your wisdom and practical advice for all parents and grandparents who are trying to pass on the faith. So hopefully we'll have you on again.
Yeah, I would love that.
Definitely. And to our audience out there, blessings during this Lenten season, and we'll see you next month. God bless.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.